Church, you can be seated this morning. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord with us having a baby dedication today. And as many of you know, we've said this before many times, that raising up a child is something that it's not just it's when I have a message for the family, it's not just for the family that's dedicating their children. It's for all of us here. Sometimes we need that little bit of a reminder as a parent, a mom, a dad, or a grandparent, on the complexities sometimes, the things that it takes to raise a child. So one thing that I have over the past 10 years, I have mentioned this many, many, many times behind the pulpit, and that is that I encourage everyone to read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is an exceptionally good book when it comes to instructions on how to live life, some of the obstacles that you will run into in life and how to deal with those and navigate your way through them. And so for 10 years as a pastor, I've encouraged everyone to read at least once a day from the book of Proverbs. Now, it has 30 chapters. You can read a chapter a day, and then when you're done reading it, you just start over again. And you just keep reading it and keep reading it until it becomes ingrained and part of your life. So I find it very fitting to address our parents today in this ever-important event of dedicating your child to the Lord. So today we're going to use Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, as our template of teaching. So parents, all parents, understand that parenting is sacred. It's something that God looks down at, and he's very keenly interested in how we parent and the product that we produce from parenting. But parenting is sacred. Parenting can be exciting. Parenting can be smelly. You know, it amazes me sometimes, these little ones. I'm not even going to go there. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. So smelling can be, it can be crushing at times. It can be very, very devastating, disappointing. It as time goes on, it just seems like it gets ever more expensive to raise up children and to feed them, to clothe them, to provide education for them and such. So when it comes to training and preparing our children for the world, no one is perfect. No one is perfect, and no one has it down pat. I've heard mothers at when their children were young. I've been around long enough to see these children grow up. Some of them get married and have children of their own, and I hear the mothers when the children are 2-3 years old that, boy, this parenting, I've got this down pat. I got this figured out. And then the first child hits teenage years, and all of a sudden what you thought you knew, you throw it out the window, because it's a whole different ball game when you have teenagers in the house. And so what should we be teaching our children? What guidance should we be giving? And where do we learn how to raise and discipline as well as disciple our sons and daughters? And I feel that one of the best consistent places that a person can go is to the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs, it's presented as counsel from a wise royal couple, King Solomon, who was has been labeled, I guess, as the wisest man that has ever lived. And his wife, now you can understand if you look at the life of Solomon, Solomon's life kind of unraveled as he got older. But in his younger years and when he was paying attention and he was in tune with God, he wrote much of the book of Proverbs. But keeping that in context today, I just want to read a verse, Proverbs 1:8, out of the English Standard Version. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Now here we could say, my daughter, It would apply to either one. So hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. It is an entire God-breathed and divinely authorized manual on how to raise your children, and it's well worth reading. But until you get that chance, maybe you haven't read the book of Proverbs, and until you get that chance, I'm going to go over some critical pointers that you can use along the way, points of wisdom that basically you could say a king and a queen in Proverbs said to their child, and what we can say to ours. Number one, in chapter one, they said, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. If you're raising up children today, we live in a world that has very little fear of God. They have very little fear of the authority of God and the power of God and or the judgments of God. But in chapter 1, the king and queen say to their son, the fear of the Lord. This is pretty powerful. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Parenting is not ultimately about teaching right behaviors. It's about facilitating a right relationship. So we have to understand your first job as a parent is to help your child relate to the God in the Scripture. Make that God a personal God. Teach them, train them, read to them. And they will develop a faith in Jesus Christ, just as you have a faith in Jesus Christ. Tell your children that God is holy. Tell your children that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they can learn how to live before God, and they can live with others in love and in peace. This is the first and most important thing we need to teach to our children, to fear the Lord. Next, in Proverbs, we need to teach them to revere the Word of God. So many people today have no knowledge of the Word of God. So keeping that in context, in Proverbs 1:8, the advice goes out as, hear, my son, your father's instructions. And this is what we read as I'm on the wrong page here. Proverbs 2:6 says, whosoever despises the words brings destruction on himself, but he who reverence the word, the commandment, will be rewarded. So we need to teach our children to revere the commandments of God. And it's not just a set of rules. So many times we look at Scripture, and I've heard people in the past that don't understand the Word of God. They say, well, it's just a set of rules. But it's not just a set of rules. It's a means of salvation, and it's a path of wisdom, of life, and fruitfulness. You want to have a fruitful life? Then you need to take and revere the Word. Show them how much you value the Word. To each of our parents, every baby dedication, we give out a Bible that is written at their level of understanding, something they can understand as a young child, and they can grow with that Word. And eventually they will outgrow that small Bible, but you're planting a seed in their heart, and show them how much you value the Word of God. You can't expect your children to value something that you don't value. Let them see you reading it in the morning. Let them see you reading it and hearing it often on your lips. And most important, let them see it slowly but surely changing your life. Teach your children to build their lives on the unchanging Word of God. Next thing we need to teach our children is to honor the Lord. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Teaching your children to be generous and faithful and giving is something that goes against the grain in today's society. Today, so much is about what's in this for me. What do I get out of this? And we have we live in a very, very self-centered, selfish society. But teach your children that money and success ultimately comes from God, that there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. God gave you the talents and the gifts that you have and the opportunities that allow you to do what you do. And so show your kids that you understand that by giving back to God, not your leftovers, but your first fruits, the first and the best of what you have, giving back to God is important. So honor the Lord. Then we need to teach them to appreciate correction. This is probably one of the most difficult things to teach a child. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights." Here we have the father in Proverbs doesn't just discipline his son, he teaches his son to love it. Now, I kind of have a little problem with that. I don't know that I ever loved a spanking. My dad was one that he didn't, he firmly believed in that scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child. And, you know, we weren't beat as children. It wasn't abuse. Most of the spankings we got, we certainly deserved it. And some spankings we didn't get that we should have, but nevertheless, I know my dad's watching online right now, so I want to be careful here because he's still my father. And I told him not too long ago. I said, you know, Dad, I said I can pretty much, you know, I can outrun you now. So. It seems like a tall order, but as a 62-year-old man, I think I understand where this scripture is coming from. The Bible says in Proverbs, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. This is one of the things that is missing in so many of our lives of our children today is discipline. Every child you discipline different. Our daughter Lana, when she was growing up, I think I remember only spanking her twice. I didn't need to spank her. I just could look at her and talk stern to her, and she would just kind of just melt. And she responded to just a stern talking. And, of course, now maybe, I don't know, maybe Marvin has a little different issue with that than what I, my daughter's looking back there like, oh, no, here we go again, Dad. She's probably thinking, just a few more months and I won't have to listen to him. Discipline lovingly points us in the direction of peace and harmony. Therefore, discipline should be considered a lifelong friend. And going along with appreciating correction is teaching our children to learn self-control. How many of you have been in a grocery store or Walmart or someplace and you have a cart, somebody in front of you, a family, and a child that's just screaming because they want something? My wife and I were out a few weeks ago, and I think it was Kohl's, and a mother had a little child there, and she wanted everything. Mom said no, and the kid just throws a big fit right there, and boy, I know what would happen if I was in a grocery store and my dad, we gave him fits. I know exactly what would happen. He would teach us immediately the art of self-control. And the father speaks very frankly to his son about the dangers of not exhibiting self-control. He goes into all kinds of things, and he talks to them about the dangers of alcohol and tells them that wine is a mockery and strong drink a brawler, and whosoever is led astray by this is not wise. He also goes in and he talks about sexual immorality, something that a lot of us parents today struggle with teaching our children about the birds and the bees. And you're probably going to say, oh, no, Pastor, are you really going to go there? Listen, if you don't teach this to your children, they are going to pick it up in school or wherever. And if you don't teach them that this is something that God ordains and that it's not dirty and it's not nasty and it's something that is between a husband and a wife, they're going to pick it up from someone else. Take the time to teach your children self-control, and that comes in every aspect of their lives. The proverb says at 21:17, it says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man, but he who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The parents in Proverbs wanted their child to understand the importance of boundaries and self-control. They speak frankly and specifically about sexual immorality and alcohol to their children. Have those conversations. Obviously, you have them when your children are age appropriate, but if you're sitting here today and your children are approaching teenage years and you've never talked to them about any of these subjects, you need to sit down and you need to have that conversation. Wise parents today should follow the example from the book of Proverbs. Teach your children to learn. They learn self-control from mom and dad. Tell the truth. Teach your children to tell the truth. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Parents, do your children a favor and teach them to tell the truth. Parents that cover for their children's mistakes, boy, I know some parents that are constantly covering up for their children. Well, you know, they really didn't mean that. They didn't really mean to stomp you on the foot. You know, they're just a child. You see that all the time, you know. Well, they're just a child. They're just a child. Teach them to tell the truth and let them know that there are consequences when they don't tell the truth. Children have to learn that the cleanest way through a problem, the simplest way through a problem, is to tell the truth. We live in a world today that it just boggles my mind at the level of lying that goes on in our leadership in our world, our politicians. Sometimes I wonder, do they even know that they're on camera and they're being videotaped stating this? Because 6 months later, they're saying, I never said that. Well, what do you mean you never said that? You were on 25 news outlets saying that. Now, come on, tell the truth. How much better would the world be if we couldn't lie? Think about that. The biggest problem that we have, one of the biggest problems we have in society, is nobody tells the truth anymore. What difference does it matter if I lie? Who's going to know? Well, your sins will find you out. Holding on to sin in our hearts is a recipe for spiritual and psychological indigestion. Have you ever just stretched the truth a little bit once and it just bothered you so much that you just had to, you got sick to your stomach? Anybody ever? Maybe I'm the only one that, you know, it's like, well, I didn't really mean to spin it that way, but confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. This is a good one to write down. Confession is good for the soul, and it's also good for the rest of us. It's good when you repent. It's good when I repent. The parents in Proverbs tell their son to be honest in his personal dealings and also in his dealings at work. Proverbs 20:23, unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. Back in that day, they weighed out products. If you were going to go buy a bushel of corn or buy a bushel of wheat or whatever, it was weighed out. And a lot of guys would take and they would put rocks in the basket so the basket weighed more, but you got less grain. And here they're telling them to be honest in everything you do. Be honest in personal dealings. Be honest at work. Deception is a short-sighted strategy in business. And it's also a short-sighted strategy in personal relationships. So therefore, parents, teach your children to always tell the truth. The next point we find in Proverbs is building strong friendships. Building strong friendships. I love it when I look across this congregation, I see our young children. When they're young and they kind of cling to mom and dad, and then as they get a little more age to them and they go to Sunday school, and in Sunday school they start to build those relationships, and then when they come into church and the little one is playing by himself at the pew with some matchbox cards or a tractor, and all of a sudden he looks up across the congregation, he sees his buddy on the other side and the eyes light up. Building relationships is so critical and so important. I have relationships today. My oldest friend that I can recall, other than my brother John, is Steve Rogers in Elam Tabernacle. He pastors there in Milwaukee. I met him when I was 5 years old, and we've been friends since 5 years old. And I appreciate and cherish that friendship. I talk with him, not weekly, but we go in spurts. But those relationships, I've built relationships here that I've had for 42, 43 years. But the parents in Proverbs had a great deal to say about the importance and the value of friendship. In Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. The parents advise their son to build a rich, well-rounded, multi-generational community of friends in the place where he lives. I love that also about this church. When you notice after church and everybody starts to talk, you've got young people talking to older saints or elders, and you got elders talking to young couples, and it's very, what I would say, we have a very multi-generational community here at Calvary Gospel Church. So they remind their son, these are the people that you want to do life with. So make sure you choose your friends wisely. And if you choose your friends wisely, then your children will choose their friends wisely. So the king and queen remind their son, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but in the companions of fools will suffer harm. I think it was Brother Hawk that used to say, show me your friends today and I'll show you your future tomorrow. And that is so very true. Pick your friends. Another important thing is that we need to teach our children to work hard. Teach them to work hard. And teach your children to work hard and to make hay while the sun shines. I heard this statement many, many years when I was in plumbing, that it's always was make hay when the sun shines. We got to get out there. It's time to work. Get up in the morning. Get on your day. Teach them that work comes before play, and teach them to do something useful. The wise mom and dad say to their son, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Sometimes Proverbs just puts it out there blunt. King Solomon didn't let any grass grow under his feet. He wasn't afraid to say what he felt. But wise parents point their children in the direction of something that's going to produce in their lives. And it's important that we make the connection between labor and increase and help them develop the skills necessary to provide for their family when that time comes and to contribute to a community. We're not an island unto ourselves. We live in a world, we live in a community. Here we have community at work. You have community at home. And then show mercy to the poor. And I'm wrapping this up. Teach your children to treat all human beings with dignity. Teach your children to treat other people as they would want to be treated. Proverbs 14:31, Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Let them see your faith living out in deeds of mercy and compassion. James, the brother of Jesus, in James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You see, holiness and charity go together. Therefore, teach your children to be merciful to those that are less fortunate. And finally, our last point today is we must be growing ourselves. You know, just because we age, we become mature and we have children, doesn't mean that it's okay to stop learning. A lot of times we feel like, well, you know, I've got children, now I've got grandchildren, so my parenting days are over. But there's never a time when, as an individual, if you're alive, you should be learning and you should be growing. And Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. We could sum this passage of Scripture up in two simple words, that consistency matters. Consistency matters. You want to be a successful parent, take these points that I mentioned today and consistently apply them to your parenting skills. Long before our children can follow and understand a family devotion, or where it's appropriate to give some measure of corrected discipline, they can sense our love for Christ in the way that we love them. We, as a parent, we are the best example that our children will ever have. We need to be the most consistent example that our children would ever have. So as we close this out, if we can stand this morning, and our worship team, we want to challenge ourselves today. Our children will learn to sense whether the faith we are teaching them is something that we actually cherish for ourselves. You see this so prevalent today all across our society, how that you can look at the grandparents or the great-grandparents and then the grandparents and the parents and then the children, and you can see a level of decay, degradation, or what values that the grandparents held very dear, it wasn't passed on to the next generation and to the next generation and to the next generation. We can look at our world today and it's very easy to understand that we're in the critical crisis that we are in. We're facing a lot of critical social issues today. How did we get here? Sometimes we wonder that. How did we get here? You know how we got here? We got here because parents stopped teaching their children values. You go back in the 1920s and the 30s, and the value system that our world had then is very different than the value system that our world has now. I understand that every generation is a little bit different. But God's word is consistent. And if every generation just followed the word of God, if every generation just listened, my son, listen to the wise words of your father. Don't forget the instructions from your mother. The righteous who walk in integrity, blessed are his children after him. So today is really, it's not just a day for Rose and Eli and dedication for them. It's a rededication for all of us. I want to be the best grandparent. I want to be the best grandpa I can be. I only get one shot at it. I don't get another chance. And I want to do my best. I want to be the best pastor I can be. I want to be the best saint of God I can be. I want to be the best worker, employee that I can be. I want to be the best husband that I can be. I want to be the best friend that I can be. So as we close this morning out, I just want to, as our worship team begins to sing, I just want to challenge us as parents, maybe husbands and wives, if you'd like to come down and pray and say, you know what, bring your children, your family with you, or if you'd like to hold hands where you're at, that's fine. But I just want to challenge us today. Listen, my son. Listen. Listen. Don't forsake. Don't forsake. God bless you this morning.